Blog Talk Radio.
We're getting consistent, aren't we? Yay! Show after show! Finally! Woo! Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this Flex Pit. And tonight we're doing another review show, and it's something a little bit different than what we've been, speaking I cannot do because my tongue is up my nose. Okay. Yeah, we have a mermaid theme going on, and this week, Danae and I and myself, we decided that we were going to watch a movie review for the show, and the movie we decided on was Todd Sheets' Bone Hill Road. It's a werewolf movie, and I'll be honest with you, it's pretty good. It was a howling good time. Oh, the fun,
Sorry, everyone. I just, I don't know what came over me. Hello, it's today.
We're for a howling good time. Oh, wait, I did that one already. Okay. So, anyway, back when I, a little backstory on my film relationship with Todd Sheets. Way back when, there were several different companies that would put out a lot of, like, multi-movie collections, five movies in a collection, 50, 20, 100. And one of them was Mill Creek, and then there was Echo Bridge, and there's, what's the newest one that put out, I got sidetracked there because I had a message come in. Sorry about that, everybody. But yeah, there's a Mill Creek is still around. They do a lot of the movie collections and other things. But back to where I was heading with this is that there were a lot of the older box sets that have got like 20 movies in them would have movies you've never heard of. And they're like the lower budget independent filmmakers. And Todd Sheets was one of them. Now, I remember specifically that in my days of renting Blu-rays, DVDs, VHS, and also buying these sets, that there were several names to look for, and you'd have a decent foot on your hands. Screaming Mad George, Brian Yunza, and Todd Sheets. And I'll tell you what, Todd does some, he's got some good stuff out there. I would very, very, very much suggest everybody take a look at his movies. Very nice guy. We've actually had him on our show. I think way back when the first episode. We did an episode about Clownado, which we have not previewed, which we haven't watched yet, but we may get to eventually. So that was really cool. So Bone Hill Road. It's a werewolf flick. Don't expect CGI monsters.
Oh no!
If you're expecting CGI monsters, they're not in this. We have multiple werewolves, which are people in werewolf costumes.
Yes, and they look amazing.
Thrilled me. Makes me so happy to have an actual, actual horror flick that uses practical effects, practical guts, practical gore, and werewolf suits, and it's just like, thank you for doing this. I'm an old school horror guy. I'll take a cheesy, silly looking monster chasing around people going, and like the 1950s stuff thing that I was talking about before. To me, there's so much more of a more comfortable experience watching a monster that is physically there instead of watching, five or six people going, oh, there's a monster, and it's just a guy in a green screen suit going, hi, I'm on screen. and everything's put in with CG. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. And there's, you want vicious, go practical effects. You want gory,
oh, definitely
go physical, practical effects. I mean, you can add to an effect using CGI by, like, you know, for example, I would say like another, like an increased blood squirt. That'll work because, you know, it's just like, nope, we're done. There you go.
Well, yeah, and if you want to do, like, a long, instead of the long, drawn-out transformation, if you want to do a quick morphing and you can do it seamlessly and make it look natural, I don't know how natural you can make a world translation look, but you get my point, that's okay. As long as the actor, there's an actor or stunt person in that suit in the finished product.
Right.
It's,
right.
I mean, this is what a lot of people, believe it or not, Eric, a lot of people don't know this, but the original Godzilla movies, those were guys in suits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Toho Studios did not have the time nor the budget to do stop-motion animation, which they wanted to do, like King Kong and Creature and Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and different films like that with Ray Harryhausen and Will Sofrayen. But they decided to go for the guy in a giant monster suit, and they call it, there are different sources that say it's Suitmation or, you know, something else. I don't remember what the other name they call it at the moment, but you know, that's why they were so successful, because there was just this, and also the way they filmed it and slowing down the film, you know, speeding up the film, so the motions of the people inside the monster suits looks larger than life, looks like it has more impact, more oomph to it, if you will.
Yeah, and the guys in the suits, they took quite a lot of punishment. In fact, I was watching Brandon Tennell's review of one of the Godzilla films, and it was during one of the monster battles where he says, you know, it's just any job where you go to work and you risk being stomped on and thrown and trampled and set on fire. So, you know, he really gave kudos to those guys.
Oh yeah, some of those suits weighed over 200 pounds. Now that's because they had bamboo in them and different supporting elements, because you know it's Godzilla. Now the werewolf suits that were used in Lone Hill Road were actually quite good.
They were.
I did notice a couple of goofy things that made me smile. And I love little technical things. I always keep my eyes open that just made me grin, because it's just like, this is too awesome. I love it. And there was one suit that was really unexpected that kind of made me go, say what now? Because it actually looked like the person. Let's not ruin that. Let's not go in there. But yeah, the werewolf suits were very good. I mean, we're not talking like Dog Soldiers good, but for a film of this type of budget, it was extremely good.
Todd told me it cost $13,000. And I think they put that $13,000 to good use. Now, it does have that shot on video look, but that's fine, because everything else, well, I mean, because it, a lot of times when you have that shot on video look, it's really, really cheap looking, and it's like the colors are washed out and anything. No, it's still, even though you could tell it was shot on video, or, and if I'm wrong, Todd, correct me, but it still had that kind of look, but yet at the same time, you didn't sit there and go, oh, crap, what am I in for? You know what I mean?
Right, and the color saturation and balance was perfect. There's a lot of camera movement, because it looked like everything was done handheld, but it wasn't to the point where it made you nauseous, but there was always some form of movement going on with the camera to make the scene better. And it really, really worked.
Oh, I know. I could, during the attack scenes, I could actually see what's going on. Because it irritates me when I'm watching a horror flick or an action flick, and during the fight and kill scenes, the camera person gets up close and starts moving. Either they're moving the camera around or the editor's having too much fun chopping it up. But it just drives me nuts because not only does it give me a headache, but I can't see a damn thing that's going on. You know, and this is why I watch these movies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely entertaining. it dealt with some very serious issues. People issues. Mainly the issues of abuse and bad relationships and everything. And it did it very well. I mean, some of the dialogue was, it's all right. But the idea came through loud and clear, and it basically, it pointed towards strong women, you know, getting through a really bad situation, making the best of it, and keeping on going, and not giving up. That's I think was the main focus of the movie besides the werewolves.
Yeah, and the acting I felt like was really good. The writing, the producing, everything I felt was really good. The only real issue as far as the characters are concerned is I really wanted to strangle the teenage daughter in the beginning. I really
yeah.
did. She was a selfish little bitch. Everything was about her.
Right. But her character did open her eyes and go, whoa, wait a minute. I made a lot of mistakes here. But
yeah.
She learned to really appreciate her mother. Now, there is one thing I got to go, oh, really? Okay. The amount of physical damage that the human body takes in this movie is a little bit on the, wait a minute, whoa, psych. It is a violent movie, of course. There's some stabbings, there's a head crushing, there's werewolf violence and everything. You know, I'm going by about, but it works for this movie, but if you're stabbed like 4 times and you're like literally bleeding like crazy and you're still running away from werewolves and fighting them off and so on and so on and so on, the amount of physical damage done to this person's body would make them bleed out in like 6 minutes. But you know, that's Mr. Biological, you know, the doc over here going, hey, wait a minute. But it still worked so well. And
you wouldn't be able to hold a conversation.
This is true. Now there is a little bit of foreshadowing, and I'm not going to ruin what goes on with this character, but I'm going to tell you this. There was a character that popped up in the near the beginning of the film, and I went, oh, that's one of the werewolves. All I'm going to say to that is I was wrong, but I was also right. We'll let you watch the movie and figure that one out.
Well, we can. There is one thing that we can say because it is in the description, in that there's also a subplot with a serial killer. And
yes.
My only gripe is that they focus too much on the serial killer than the werewolf. And that's my only complaint because while I love slasher flicks and serial killer movies, you know, I watch this for the werewolf. And they weren't in it near as much as I feel like they should have been.
I agree with that. But every scene that they were in, they were used very well.
They were.
So that kind of makes up for it. So, I mean, I would definitely suggest if you want to have a movie night and with your friends or solo or whichever you want, and you look for something to be entertained by, they'll keep your attention. I'll be able to check this out. But I do have a pretty heavy duty warning on here that it's pretty gory. There are internals that become externals on a couple of our characters. That means the insides of the person become of the outside. And if you're not used to that.
Oh, you can say it. The intestines come out.
It's a floor.
But there's even some cannibalism. You know, this is a very, very gory movie. And another thing is that there's boobs. Not that I care about it, but there's boobs. I think this is a movie that Jay Bond from Bloodbath and Beyond will really like because of the boobs. Love you, Jay.
There were breasts, yes, and I went okay, and I was, you know, to be honest, one of the staples for low budget horror films from the '80s and nineties is forgive the slang, it's the TNA factor. That's the booty and the boobs is a huge constant thing in horror films, also lower budget movies. Like from the 80s until now. So I was actually expecting a little bit more, but there's, I'm not complaining at all, so I don't think I am complaining.
If you were complaining about boobs, I'd be concerned about you.
I was actually expecting more. But the level that we had was actually fairly tame for a horror movie, but definitely not.
Right, and it really was not used in a sexual manner.
Right.
Because let's just say that the girl whose boobs were exposed, she was very, very, very abused, and we were not, the audience is not supposed to be aroused by her toplessness at all.
Yeah, this is not one to Google. This is one to understand that the situation is very bad.
I mean, she wasn't unattractive, but like I said, I mean, she wasn't ugly, but...
Well,
the situation, she was very abused. The scene was not for arousal, and I would worry about anyone who did get aroused by it personally.
Yeah, definitely on that. So there's also a after credit scene. Just keep watching the credits until after the credits. We're not going to spoil what that is, but I really got a good chuckle out of it. I really, really did. Because a little off story, I may have mentioned this before in one of our many, many episodes. There was a certain large, an extremely famous band that wears a lot of makeup that I had a not-so-positive experience with one of their guitarists. And what really made me laugh is that the characters that were in this after credit scene were actually based off of the band with the head of a gentleman that I had the not so positive experience with. I went, oh, that's funny.
I don't think many people have had positive experiences with him. I mean, I've seen him in interviews, and he comes across like a real jerk.
No, it's actually not. It's not the guy that you see in all the interviews who's trying to sell all the stuff. He's a bassist and also a vocalist. The other guy was a guitarist, and I was just like, from what I witnessed, I was just like, are you serious, dude? You need to get your ass hauled out of here by security and not invited back. Anyway. That's another story. If I mention the band, it'll definitely ruin the after credit scene, so we don't want to do that. But there would be another...
Yeah, that's the reason why we're being vague. We're not concerned about getting sued. We just don't want to spoil it.
They have more money than God. So anyway, it's been documented these guys are jerks. But anyway.
Oh, and there's lots of homages to American Werewolf in London and The Howling, the original Howling.
Yes. Yes, there are. Yeah, one of these days we'll definitely do a show about some of my convention experiences. And I got some fun stories. A lot of them, I think there's maybe two stories that are kind of negative, just because I was given the impression I had was not very good. But I've had a wonderful time with different conventions and everything. Even doing a 12-hour round trip to the Philly Comic Con about 5 or 6 years ago, that was crazy. So I'll have to do a show about my convention experiences sometime. And then we'll actually mention names and places and experiences and, you know. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll figure out who the band was in a little while. That's your cliffhanger.
Call me up. I'm dangling on the edge here.
You don't know me. Off the edge. Off the edge and back to safety.
Now, I have to say that whenever I am watching a low-budget movie, a low-budget independent movie, I'm a lot more forgiving than I am a big-budget blockbuster, because they have a lot less to work with. And, you know, if you try, I can give you kudos. Even if I don't like the movie, I can give you kudos just for trying to make a good movie. But, you know, this they tried and they succeeded. I mean, I was not bored the whole time. Like I said, the only issue that I had was with that one certain subplot that we were talking about. But I didn't have any problems. The production values were really good. The acting, I didn't have any issues with the dialogue. There were no I didn't have any issues with the pacing. There was no long periods of time where nothing happened. The werewolves looked great. They looked absolutely great. I'm so starved for practical effects that I probably wouldn't care if I saw a zipper down the back. But there were no zippers down the back of these costumes. I mean, they looked amazing. And, I mean, I don't get really scared that much anymore because, I've seen so many of these movies, I'm kind of desensitized. But, I mean, there were times in which I was jumping and covering my eyes and just, like, really, really freaked out.
Yeah, there were some really tense moments in there, and I was like, ooh, this is good.
I cared about the characters.
That's the big thing. The movie made you care. Even characters that were on screen for maybe 4 minutes, you still cared about. Like, Leanna Quigley was in the movie. Not going to ruin it for anybody. But she was in the movie. Her role was very awesome, so thumbs up to her. And go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I interrupted.
Okay. Now, and I want everybody to remember, when we say low-budget movie, we are not saying that in a derogatory way. Because I'll be honest with you, most of the movies that I enjoy from the 50s, 60s, and 70s cost less than $50,000 to make. Actually, I think Manos to Hands of Fate costs about $3,000 to make. So low budget can be gold. It can be absolute gold. You can get better low budget movies than you can from mega blockbusters and up in Hollywood. Better monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Acting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes the acting is better, better plots, and these independent filmmakers can get away with a hell of a lot more than anyone who's making a big budget flick nowadays. Now, I'll give you an example of something I forgot that I had that I actually rewatched several days ago. This is going to sound very strange, but there's explanation to it, and just everybody just rolling me on this. There is an X-rated version of RoboCop. Okay, we're not talking X-rated from sex. We're talking X-rated from violence. It was the original Paul Verhoeven version before he cut it down to rated R. Now, this was actually put out on DVD by accident way, way, way back when. And I had a copy of it. So I rewatched it, and I went, oh, my goodness, this is one of the most brutal. I mean, the original RoboCop, when it hit the theaters in the 80s, was brutal. But now you add in the extended, you know, death scenes and just the extended violence. I was like, holy sheboygan. You could never make a movie like this nowadays. And that goes back to the lower budget movies and independent films where you can make movies like that and not have to deal with MPAA. You know, that's a choice, but you can do so much more with low budget independent films. Look at Trauma.
Exactly.
I know people can.
You don't.
I know. Oh, go ahead.
No, I did it again. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. That's part of our dynamic, kiddo. Don't you worry. So, Trauma. Some people can't stand their movies because they're gross. They're what's called sex comedies. You know, their special effects are bad or whatever. They use completely off-the-wall, disgusting humor that appalls many, many people. But you know what? They can get away with it because they're an independent studio. Plus, there's people like me who absolutely dig what they do. I mean, there's some Trauma movies I've seen that I just went, oh, really? But let's say 85% of everything they put out or published for other people has been pretty darn good. So support your independent bands, your independent filmmakers, and your independent studios. Yeah.
Well, it's like you said, the independents, they don't have the like big time producers breathing down their necks and going, okay, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. No, no. Okay. You know what? There's not enough boobs in it. I don't care if the actress is 13 years old. I want boobs. You know,
That's too far.
No, that's what happened on, that's what happened with, the little girl that lives down the lane and, the crutch.
Yes, I do remember that, but there's a lot of freaky nasty people. A lot of freaky nasty people in Hollywood. You know, we don't support that at all. But that was new.
Yeah, the independents don't have to deal with that. I mean, they can, like, you know, Todd can write his scripts, and he's the writer, he's the director, he's the editor. You know, so pretty, and everybody contributes into the financing. So, you know, it's pretty much their project, and what they say goes. They don't have anybody interfering. And also, since these don't usually go to the multiplex, since these don't go to the multiplexes, they don't have to deal with the MPA, or the MPAA,
exactly.
I mean.
Yeah, and just a reminder to everybody, James Gunn, yes, the T-H-E, James Gunn, who did Squirm, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, and a bunch of other really, really good movies, started out at Troma. 100% serious. And Lloyd Kaufman, who owns Troma, was in the original Guardians of the Galaxy. So what did that tell you? Some low-budget film producers strike the right at the right time, and they become some of the biggest filmmakers in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, also look at Roger Corman. The guy's made thousands of movies, all low-budget independent flicks that he got away with a bunch of crazy stuff, and he's made film history. Roger Corman is the man. Hands down.
Yep. So just, you know, if you ever think you can't do it, well, you know, if these people thought that they couldn't do it, if they didn't try, then we wouldn't have the gems that we have today. Of course, we wouldn't have Manos Hands of Fate either, but... I still can't get through it.
I still love it, though. I really
do. Oh, but it does have a cult following, as does Troll 2. So, yeah, even the ones that don't try can, you know, put out a movie that's close to people's hearts. I'm not saying that they didn't try. Well, yeah, in the case of Manos, they didn't try. It was a bet, basically.
It was a bet, yeah. But at least they got a movie done. It's more than a lot of people would say, even though, and I'll be honest with you, it is not the worst movie I've seen. I've seen a lot worse. Plan 9 isn't the worst movie I've seen either, so there's a lot worse. So,
I have seen terrible, terrible movies that cost $200 million. Money has nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Well, I think we're going to wrap this one up early tonight because I have to continue packing and gathering my things together here to go to move back to Sludge Industries at my new secret location in Utica, New York. And I got to go back tomorrow because our office is opening up on Tuesday. And actually, I'm off from work until Wednesday, so that's a good thing. So I can get everything all set up. I can get my office rebuilt. And we're going to get ready to go. So, all together, would we suggest watching Bone Hill Road, purchase Blu-ray, DVD, download? Heck, yes, we would. And we sure do, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, if you love werewolves, if you love practical effects, if you love to support independent filmmakers, then definitely. Definitely. Rent or buy Bone Hill Road.
Yes, I would definitely suggest it. And, you know, if you enjoy it, please leave a good review wherever you see it, because this was just a fun flick. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was brutal. It was in your face. It was good. I would definitely suggest it for anybody who wants to see a good old practical effects monster flick.
One more complaint.
So, yes.
Linnea wasn't in it nearly enough.
I agree. But, hey, at least she was in it, though. That was cool.
Yeah,
One of our friends, Gene Silver, was in Clownado. So eventually when we get to Clownado, we'll get to it eventually, like I said. We'll have to see if Gene will want to be on the show and talk about it.
Hey, and maybe we can, and we can invite Todd, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we could definitely do that. So we will plan on that for the future. No confirmed date on yet because we have to set everything up and, you know, get it together. I think it's take a little while because work and schedule are moving and things, but we will get to that soon. Have my word on it. So we'll definitely get that together, and we will have a show this coming Sunday. We're actually getting into a pattern here of successful shows one week after another, which is great. Now, that reminds me, this coming Sunday, the show is 50-50 whether we're going to have one or not, because I'm actually going to be on call for my job, so I may not be available. So we'll let everybody know ahead of time in the week if there will be a show. So we'll get that covered. All right. I'm so happy we watched this one. I definitely made up for the mermaid. The mermaid.
Oh yeah.
Need some help. But now where's that firework? Yep. So this was fun. I'm really happy we actually dug into a good meaty horror flick. So
literally,
all right, everybody, we appreciate
literally meaty.
Yeah. So everybody, thank you so much for listening in. Sarah and Dana, if you're out there, thank you for listening in, and it's good to talk to you. And we will be back fairly soon. So good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I am the queen of cheese.
What was that? What? Oh, she's gone. Oh, okay. Well, I should be too. So, Foghorn Part 2. Good night, everybody.